Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Jonathan Croft.
So, having said that, not all of you will know who this gentleman is that's coming up to preach here, because you're new to Kingdom Faith. Well, if you're new to Kingdom Faith, you probably already know, though, that we're part of something much bigger than just this congregation here, but we're part of something that's worldwide, birthed under the ministry of Pastor Colin Urquhart. But down there in Horsham, which is where the main centre is, we have some elders of Kingdom Faith, and Jonathan is one of those elders. You can tell by the lines on his face. I think he's younger than me, actually. He looks younger than me, anyway. But that's what Jonathan's role is. He has sort of a national and a local ministry in amongst the church, working with the most senior people in Kingdom Faith. So it's really a great privilege to have him with us this morning. So let's welcome Pastor Jonathan as he comes to the pulpit to speak. Yay.
Thank you. Great to be here amongst friends, and it's just good looking around because I know so many of you. Some of you who have been Bible College down in Horsham, but also some people that I've known for many years since we first came up here in 1990 or 91. I was here when Pastor Colin first came up into Yorkshire. And so it was amazing to see what God has done during that period of time and the amount of people that Kingdom Faith actually, through some of you guys, your lives have been touched by what God has done. Not just through Kingdom Faith, this is through God, because we're about the kingdom, aren't we? The kingdom. And it's not about denominational tags. It's not about, you know, whether you're Baptist or Methodist. It's about us belonging to the kingdom of God. And that is the exciting thing. And that's why I love this this venue. I think when I first came and saw this venue, when it was proposed to buy it, it was just a shell. But Paul and Kate had vision. And they took us around this building and they just explained what was going to happen here. And I now see it before my very eyes. And it's just a fantastic place that brings God the glory. And, you know, but at the end of the day, it's about you and me, because God's glory resides in you. And I'd like to turn quickly to Psalm 26, please. Just for a few minutes, we just want to just go through a few things. But Psalm 26 and verse 8. I'm just going to read a few scriptures first, and then I've got a few questions that I'm going to ask you that will come on the screen. But it says in verse 8, I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. I'll read that again. I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Go to Revelation chapter 2. And this is, John had received a revelation. And it says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. And we could go on and on and on about those things, but if we could then turn to Luke chapter 12. And I'll read from verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief nor comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then if we could quickly just turn to Colossians chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. There's several other scriptures that we could read, but time is short and I want to make sure that you get the seven questions. Why? Because this is something I believe that God wants to give you so that you can actually take it away with you today and actually begin to work these things with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I believe that we're in an amazing opportunity in the church. I've literally just come back from Israel just a week ago. And again, we had an amazing time there. But one of the things that, you know, one of the gentlemen that we had the privilege to hear just said something very, very profound to me, to the group. And we were talking about the issues in Israel regarding the Jewish people and the Arab people and, you know, how they are disputing about the land. And he just said something because he's a human rights lawyer. He's a believer in Jesus Christ, but he's also a human rights lawyer, and he wants to defend people both in the Arab people, because he believes that there are quite a lot of things going on in that particular grouping of people that are actually going against some basic human rights. But also he wants to defend the people of the Jewish people as well, who, if they get saved, if they become a messianic believer, as it's known over there, then the Orthodox Jews want to kick them out of the country. And so therefore, he is working through different legal things to ensure that people who want to be in the land can be in the land. But one of the things that this gentleman said is that actually it's about people. This dispute is about people. And when people, when you get understanding that it's about the Jewish people and the Arab people and not necessarily just about the land, and I could go into a lot of detail about the land and what it says in the Gospels and also the Old Testament, but that's not what we're talking about today. But one of the things he said was very, very interesting. He said, when you put land above people, it becomes a graveyard. I found that so profound. When you put land above people, it becomes a graveyard. I believe that there is times where, and I believe there's a challenge for us today, is that are we putting anything above the Lord Jesus Christ in our life? Because we don't want it to be buried in a sense, but we want his life to come to the fore in our lives. We want to ensure that nothing is coming over the relationship that we have in with Jesus Christ, so it actually becomes buried and hidden. Whereas I believe what God is wanting for the church today is to become a city on a hill, a bright light that is calling people who are desperate into a place where they have been in darkness but brought into a place of light. I believe the church needs to be a city set on a hill. And I know that there's been prophetic words spoken over this church about being set on a hill. Something that is not hidden. But there's challenge in that. Just like there was challenge to me when God spoke to me from Psalm 26. God started to ask me some questions. and also talked about where my treasure is. And can we put the first question up, please? Not that guy. I don't know who he is. I know who he is, too. What do we want most? This is you individually first. What do you want most? What do you want most? Who's seen The Lord of the Rings? And you know Gollum? And I can't mimic Gollum. Can anybody mimic Gollum here? What? Come on. Come here. Come in. Come. Come. Obviously, he had a ring, didn't he? Go on. And my precious.
Precious. This ring. Where is this ring? Is the precious ring? Can we have some, please?
Thank you. But he found something that began to dominate his life. It possessed him. It was something that he sought after if every ounce of his energy, his last breath, actually took him holding on to that ring, didn't it? When we get to the final film, he's falling into the fire, holding the ring, saying, "My precious." Sorry? But it was a ring. And he saw it as a precious ring, and he devoted his life in finding it once he lost it again. It dominated him, and it obviously dominated him in such a negative way that he had then this split personality. I believe God says to us that some of us actually have split personalities. That sometimes what we want most is different from when we come together on a Sunday to what we want Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So that what we want most is actually a good job or, you know, lots of money. For some younger people, they want to have a good marriage and, you know, they want a husband or wife. For those who are married, they want to continue with a fantastic relationship. Those with children, to see those children raised up in a great way. And you can actually begin to focus on so many different things. You can focus on your families. You can focus on jobs. You can focus on so many other things. You can focus on X Factor and who's going to go out of X Factor tonight. Or who's going to win Strictly Come Dancing. And I certainly wouldn't win that show. I have two left feet. But you understand that your attention and your focus, what you want, can be so changed by what you're seeing. Next question, please. What do we think about most? What draws your attention? These for me are important questions, because if we're going to be the people God wants us to be, and we're going to be people who are not going to allow things to get buried, that we're going to put our relationship with God first and our relationship with others first, because what is the greatest commandments that God gave us? Love God and love others as we love ourselves. You see, when we start to put other things above people and our relationship with God, because they are interlinked. You read, 1 John, 2 John, 1 John 2, 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2. It talks about, you know, we say we love God, but we say that we hate others. It doesn't work. It's the reality of our relationship with God will work out with our relationship with others. There's no shortcut. So people are so, so important in God's economy because they're part of the kingdom of God. And we've just got to make sure nothing comes over and above what God is wanting to say to us individually, but also corporately. So what do we think about most? There can be so many different things that we can think of. But you see, what God wants us to do is to think about Him most. God wants us to focus on Him in every single area of our lives so that we include Him in what we say and what we do. Can some of you who are married, I mean, I should get the newly married couples out here. There's so many marriages in this church at the moment. You obviously, some of you guys, you've just been married a few weeks, a month or so. 2 months, isn't it now? September, beginning of September. And you got married. So these guys have just been married fairly recently, and you know that they're in love because they just look into each other's eyes all the time and they just want to spend time in each other's company. You see that, don't you? When somebody has a relationship and they've just fallen in love, that person, it's like your attention is drawn by them and the focus is very much that of a person. Is that right? You two are saying, so you just newly married as well. Brilliant. But you know, the attention is upon that person that you're falling in love with. It's drawing your attention. And actually, God challenged me in sort of saying, about my first love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Through my focus and what I'm thinking about, what is my first love like in my relationship with God? Is that still the same passion, longing? And actually, God challenged me with a question even this morning saying, you know, what does that love look like? What do I believe that love looks like? And he took me to John 3:16 where God said, for God so loved the world he gave. And what God said for me, and this is for me, is that I want you to love me in return, and so therefore I want your life. I want you to give me your life because that is an act of love that is following in line with what I have already done by giving Jesus Christ to you as a free gift. And so my love and that demonstration of love, I want that love back in return, and that love back in return means that I'm giving you absolutely everything. I'm giving you my body, I'm giving you everything. But you see, if I'm thinking about other things, I'm not thinking about Jesus Christ, I'm not thinking about, you know, the different things that are happening in each day, that we're not including the Lord Jesus Christ, then we just need to be, okay, next question, because this all comes up. How do we use our money? That's an interesting one, isn't it? What do we think about most, but how do we use our money? Because if we're going to be the people God wants us to be, then we will use the money in the way that God wants us to use it. So we won't be excessive in shopping. We won't be excessive in any other area, whether it's alcohol. People sometimes just drink a little bit too much alcohol and they're spending a lot of money on that. And therefore, the money that needs to be used for other means, and God wants to use for other means, is not there because it's been filtered away into something else. So what God's saying is that, oh, have we raised money over and above our relationship with God? Have we raised the issue of money? And is money something of such an issue to us that it begins to dominate what we can and what we can't do? We've had the offering, so you're all okay. But you see, what do we use our money for? do we filter it away so that actually it's not there to bless somebody else who you see that may be going without something, so you don't have any money in your pocket, so you can't give because you've already spent it on going to the cinema the fifth time in that week? Please, I'm exaggerating, but it may be that you know you just love going to the cinema and you're going to the cinema every single week, spending £15-20 because there's two of you, and then you get your popcorn, you get your Coke. And God may be sort of saying, actually, go once, but then I want you to do something else with another part, another portion of what I'm giving to you. Please, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just asking you the question, how do we use our money? Because if we are in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he has authority, he has everything of my life. And therefore, I need to use my money in the way that he asks me to. And please, I believe he sometimes gives us money for us to enjoy. I go skiing holiday. I believe God gives me a gift. And sometimes that's money. Sometimes it's accommodation. Sometimes it's a lift to the accommodation. Other times it's giving me skis so I don't have to hire them. God can give so many different ways. But it's making sure that everything is in his order. Next question. What do we do with our leisure time? See, what I see is that sometimes we have 5 minutes for the Lord and 4 hours for our leisure. And again, for me, it's where's our focus in that? We can, I speak to the college quite a bit, and we obviously have people from all generations there. But a few years ago, we had a couple of people who, it was 3 years ago, we had a family who lived not very far from the college. And every evening, once the sort of meals had been, the duties had finished, they used to go around to this house, and for 3-4 hours, they used to play games, video games. And I'm not saying that they were bad video games, but they used 3-4 hours to play video games every night. And it's not that video games are wrong, but I had to question, okay, God, what are they doing with their leisure time? And how much leisure time is going on things that are pleasing themselves rather than what is pleasing you? I believe leisure time is important, please. Having fun is important. But I just really believe what God is wanting to say, and he's saying it to me, is that I need to make sure that in all of my life, because I want to be in a place where your glory dwells. I want to be in a place, in a house. The Holy Spirit lives in me and he lives in you, doesn't he? And because he lives in you and he lives in me, I want to make sure that this house, this dwelling place, is a place that God loves to be, and it's not contaminated with anything else that is drawing me away from that first love. I've been married 24 years. And I still love just being with my wife, just one-on-one with my wife, going out for a walk, going, you know, just to even to the shops. I just love being with my wife after 24 years. Just love it. And I'm still making sure that I'm focusing upon her at the right times so that actually we can continue to cultivate our love. If I started to ignore my wife in any way, shape, or form, then our relationship would begin to be interesting. You know what I mean, guys, don't you? Those who are married, that if you don't spend time in each other's company, things can go a little awry. And it's making sure that you spend the quality time with that husband or wife. You're spending the quality time with your children. But actually, at the end of the day, we've got to make sure that when we do have leisure time, we're making sure that it's at the right portions of leisure time. So God is involved in absolutely every area of our life. Next, please. Whose company do we enjoy? Now, please, I believe that we need to mix with both believers from this church, believers from other churches, even people from other faiths. I believe that you need to be talking to your neighbours, people who are not churchgoers whatsoever, and sometimes people with who swear a lot and different things. I have no problem getting amongst them. Okay, I went to Twickenham last week to see England v Samoa with 38 other men. And it was an experience because there was only four of us who were saved, four of us who were believers. The rest were non-church people. So going into the world and going into a language, you know, where every other word was a swear word was very, very interesting for me. But it didn't contaminate me because the person in me is greater than anything outside in the world. However, you need to make sure that in the company that you keep, you are the one that is pulling, in a sense, moving forward. You're the one that is the dominant personality in the group. And I don't mean loud. I just mean that you need to be the person who is not going to be drawn into a negative mindset, a negative conversation. But you are a strong enough person within any environment that you are in, whether it's work or whatever, your neighborhood parties, the Christmas parties some of you will be attending over these next 3-4 weeks. What God wants you to be is salt and light in that place, but not somebody who's hiding your light under a bushel by being contaminated or getting involved in different things that are going on within a work party mentality. You understand? Yeah, you understand? So whose company do we enjoy? Do we enjoy people who are leading us astray, taking us to pubs where we may drink a little bit more than we need to, or taking us to see 18-rated films that are a little bit on the dodgy side? It's so easy, but we say, oh, we're witnessing. Make sure you're witnessing then. I used to go to, I used to work in Liverpool, and it's amazing, but I used to go to some of the Christmas parties and some of the events, but I always used to leave after a couple of hours when people had gone over the line, were they drunken too much, and therefore my influence was then not so great. And so I just used to leave and just let people get on with the party. So I got involved. But as soon as I felt that I wasn't anymore in a place of influence, I just withdrew. And then continued. And the next time when I needed to go to another party or an event, absolutely. I just felt, prayed about it. Of course I did. But I just felt that God gave me a green light. But I used to stay for just over a period of time. So that I didn't, and I enjoyed the company, but I wasn't going to be contaminated by the company. And I just really get a sense from God that there is people here that you have friendships with, and they're influencing you more than you're influencing them. And I just think God is challenging some of you here this morning that, yes, please enjoy the friendships, but make sure you're the one that is leading them somewhere, leading them to the light, and not the other way around. It can easily be in conversations where you get drawn into gossip. Make sure that you're the one that is influencing in that situation, not the other way around. Next, please. Who and what do we admire? Are we focusing on something else apart from Jesus Christ? Somebody could, you know, Lewis Hamilton can be your idol. And you're so focusing on, so you're reading magazines, you're buying every book that is written about Lewis Hamilton. Or, you know, I know that this is something that you do all the time, get books about Tranmere Rovers Football Club. Come on. But you see, this is, yeah, absolutely. But you see, if you start to focus on something and you admire something, you need to be careful it doesn't take you away from the word and who and what and the relationship God wants you to have that he speaks about in this word. It's so easy, isn't it, that, you know, it could be a politician that you suddenly, Boris Johnson, I know that he's conservative and up here is not quite conservative area, but, you know, it may be that, you know, you like a politician, Gordon Brown. And so therefore, Gordon Brown, it's another name, isn't it, that it's not good. I can't think of anybody else. No, but you understand that sometimes you can get so caught up in admiration of somebody that it consumes you. So you buy every book, so using your money in a different way. You can spend a fortune on books and other materials and films and everything else, trying to get so much information about somebody that you admire. I really believe God wants us to fall in love with him again. And so therefore ensuring that what we read is, one, the word of God. You see, even Christians can get caught up with a Christian author. And instead of reading the Bible, all they're doing is reading Christian books. There is no substitute for the word of God. And we just need to be sure that who and what we admire lines up with the word of God. Please, I'm not saying that we can't admire people, but we need to get ensuring it doesn't come above the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, please. What do we laugh at? This is my last question, I think, isn't it? What do we laugh at? I think we need to, as Christians, we take ourselves far too seriously at times. And we need to laugh, and I always laugh at Paul's jackets. And I was trying to outdo you with this, but this is called the Horsham jacket. It seriously is. It's called the Horsham tweed, the Horsham jacket. What do you think? But I think that, you know, God wants us to have a sense of humour. But I don't know about you, I'm on Watch TV and sometimes I'm starting to laugh at some programme and then next minute they're going off on a completely different rude and, you know, crude type of joking and things like that. And I think we just got to be wise that what we laugh at is wholesome. Because you see, I mean, within the college setup, it's so easy to start joking with one another. But in the joking and the teasing of one another, we can begin to start laughing at somebody else's expense. And so again, it's making sure that we have fun, because I believe Jesus was the most joyful person on the face of this earth. But also we just need to be aware that actually our laughter can hurt people. They can join in with our joking sometimes, but actually it's just another knife in them because they're just going along with the sarcastic comment. I love joking around, I do. But I still need to hear what God's saying about this to me so that I don't actually go into something that the enemy wants to use to pull me away from my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just ensuring that in my laughter, my joking, and my teasing with people, that it's wholesome. And it's something that God would, in a sense, endorse that joviality. And again, please, some of the comedies on TV, they're hilarious at times. But, you know, this then goes into a crudeness, and so I also turn it off because I don't want to be contaminated by that. These questions, I don't have the answers for you on those things. But you know the way and your relationship with God at this moment in time, and you know that if you can answer this for yourself, I love the house where you live, O Lord. the place where your glory dwells. You're the only one that can answer that. Do you really love the place? Do you really love him? Do you really love being in the places where he wants you to be, meeting the people he wants you to meet, using all of your resources for his purposes? And please, that's not necessarily money. That may be your time. It's your gifting, and that may be something that is so creative. It may be, you know, just your personality who is just so welcoming, hospitable. But you're giving in that way. And for me, that question, I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Do I really? Peter, Jesus asked Peter, didn't he, those questions. Do you really love me? And sometimes I was asking God the question this morning, you know, you're asking me, do I love you? And are you asking me where my treasure is? And the answer to that question for me is that God wants everything. And the revelation scripture about my first love, when God actually asks me a question like that, it means that he's trying to get something to me. Please, I'm just talking about me at the moment. Is that okay? God's getting hold of me, and he obviously must be saying that there's something in my life where possibly has come in or creeped in that I'm not actually putting him first in the way that I may have done in the past. And I've got to go back to the Lord, and I'm going to have to ask him some of those questions and allow him to speak to me about some of those things that I've asked you to go and pray about yourselves. Time is short. I'm not going to be here to say that, you know, God is going to come back on the 2018 in January or anything like that, or anything silly like that. But we were challenged this year when we had baptisms last week. This is Kingdom Faith in Horsham. And we've seen people come to the church. But when we had this baptism service, we began to look around to see who was ready to get baptized. And please, to our shame, there was only a handful. It was literally, I think we baptized 6 or 7 people 2 weeks ago. But it stirred us and saying, God, what is this life all about? But within a few minutes, God started to speak to me about returning to our first love. Because it talks in John 13 that one of our greatest witness is that when we come together in unity, that the world may see. And when we work together in unity, when we are his disciples, when we work in unity together, that love is then demonstrated out there, and it compels people to come in. Now, please, that doesn't prevent us go and talking to our neighbors and our friends and welcoming and bringing people in. But this is where the two things need to be working all in tandem. And this is amazing with what God does and what God says. Because when we, as individuals, come into the right relationship with God and with one another, when we ensure that everything is done according to his plan, when we please him, when we ensure that we love what he loves, that's a challenge, to love what he loves. And I believe that over this next couple of weeks, when you ask these questions yourselves, God will just begin to speak to you about the things that maybe you love a little bit more than you love him. That you spend a little bit more time in that than you do in the Word of God. You spend more time with that person than actually with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Could we all stand, please? Father, we just know that you are calling your church to make a massive difference in Scarborough and this whole nation and even in Europe and beyond. Lord, if we were already in a move of God, then we would be seeing a greater fruitfulness in our lives individually, but also in your church, in your body. Lord, I just know that you're speaking to me about returning to the first love, and you're talking about that housing of your presence, that understanding that, Lord, you are a God that gave your very best. You gave your Son. And giving of your best, Lord, you've led us an example and given us an example. And Father, I just ask you for my own life, but also for everybody else, Father, who is determined to be the person you want them to be. Father, that these questions and others that you may ask yourself, that if anything is coming, Father, between you and the relationship that you want us to have with yourself, Lord, I pray that you will expose that with your light, that you will come in the way that you do through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, that you will just show us anything that we need to put right with you. Lord, just like that lawyer in Israel, we do not want anything to come above relationship with you or with others. And so, Father, I just ask you that you will just speak to us right now. And as a response this morning, we've only got a couple of minutes, but you just need to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ straight away. If there's something that's come to mind immediately, just say, God, I'm so sorry that I placed X or such and such or that situation above you. Sorry, I've allowed that to concern me so much that that's been my focus. And so, God, I just want you to be my focus. So very, very quickly, if that's something that God has just exposed or just shown you that needs to be put right, just say, God, I'm so sorry, forgive me. And Lord, just help me this week to walk in that right way. Just use your own language, your own words. But this is only the first step, because I believe this is something that you've just got to take time at. And allow God to speak to you through the scriptures that I've given, but also some of these questions. And I believe that we can't just do that within 2 minutes. I think it's something that we each have to go away with and say, God, am I in the right place? Am I in the place that you want me to be? And yes, that may be right physically, but spiritually speaking too. Because, Lord, I want more and more and more people touched by who you are. Jesus, you are the answer to people's needs. And Father, they're searching for so many and through so many different things, through drugs, through sex, through so many other vices, so many other distractions, career, promotions. But only you are the answer. You are the only one that will satisfy. And Lord, we want to be in that right place where we love you, we love one another, and so that many will know that you are my disciples through those actions. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just ask you that you'll continue to go on speaking to each one of us, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that anything that you want us to take hold of and lay hold of, that we will be people who build our lives on the solid rock. That's those who hear the word and put it into practice. We don't want to be foolish people, Father, who listen to the word and do nothing with it. So, Father, I just ask you, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit, we give you freedom to speak to us in so many ways over these coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.